Stay sheltered. Don't leave your home. It's very dangerous outside. Bombs will be dropping everywhere. When we are finished, take over your government. It will be yours to take. This will be probably your only chance for generations.
This is my video update on this Saturday, midday, February the 28th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And today is the day where Trump, the United States, and Israel, they have launched a military strike. They have declared war against Iran. Trump posted a statement, a speech on Truth Social. It's now all over social media, an 8-minute long speech where he pretty much declares war on Iran. He does declare war on Iran. He talks about obliterating the Iranian military, the Navy, getting regime change, forcing regime change in Iran. He talks about how the Iranian military should surrender, should lay down their arms, and then they will receive full immunity. And then he calls on the Iranian people to rise up and to take back their country, to topple the government. That was pretty much Trump's speech. But he did say in his speech that this is going to be a big, massive operation. And it is aimed at toppling the Iranian government. It is all about regime change. It always was about regime change. But that's Trump's statement. We also had a report from, I want to say, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. They reported that the decision to go to war was made when the final decision was taken when Netanyahu was last in the United States. So all of these negotiations that we've seen taking place between Arachi and Witkoff and Kushner, it's all performative. It was all theater. The decision was already made a couple of weeks ago when Netanyahu was last in the United States. So that was also reported on this morning. And we had the strikes. We had two waves of strikes so far at the time of recording this video. Midday here in Cyprus, local time Cyprus. The strikes were hitting various cities and regions in Iran. They were not only going after military facilities or nuclear enrichment facilities, alleged nuclear enrichment facilities and alleged military facilities, but the strikes were also targeting the Iranian leadership, the government, the administrative government, as well as military leadership. The strikes, and it's been two waves of strikes so far into Iran. The strikes were actually targeting the president of Iran. They actually tried to take out Pezeshkian. They tried to kill and take out the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. I believe they hit the parliament building or the Supreme Court as well. They've targeted military buildings where military leaders could be located. So this is a full-on decapitation strike, a full-on decapitation operation, and it's going to continue. The reports are that the United States and Israel, this is a joint operation. They have said in statements, U.S. Officials and Israeli officials, that this is a joint operation. They're going to try to take out the leadership, try to decapitate Iran's leadership, try to destabilize the country, to cause chaos. And then the calculation, I guess, is that this will lead to the military or to the people turning on the government, rising up against the government, and causing a regime change. So that's where we are at the moment. Actually, we have Iran now retaliating against Israel and the United States. And this is not only a retaliation into Israel, though there are drones that are on the way into Israel. There have been missile strikes, which are now hitting various parts of Israel, including targeting Tel Aviv. But we are also seeing an Iranian... We need to go to church, don't we? The famous pink peach color, rose color church here in Limassol. But we are seeing the Iranians now hitting U.S. bases in Qatar and in Bahrain. And at least from the images that we're getting, these missiles are hitting their targets. That's the way it looks. We'll get more reports as the day goes along. But Bahrain is really getting hit hard. I mean, I'm going through Telegram and X right now. I'm not so organized today doing this video update, to be quite honest. And I've just got an X feed, which is just updating nonstop. I mean, there's so much news and information that is coming out right now. But Medvedev on Telegram, what is he saying? The peacemaker has once again shown his true colors. All negotiations with Iran are a cover-up operation. No one ever doubted that. No one really wanted to negotiate anything significant anyway. The question is, who has more patience to wait for the inglorious end of their enemy? The USA has only existed for 249 years. The Persian Empire was founded more than 2,500 years ago. Let's see in about 100 years. Trump is going for the knockout. I've said this for a while now. Well, we've said this on the Duran for about a year, that this is all about regime change. We've been saying this for a long time. Nothing to do with uranium enrichment, nothing to do with ballistic missiles or protesters. This was about regime change. This is about regime change. Always has been about regime change. But Trump is going for the knockout punch. He's going for the knockout or the TKO, and he needs it in the early rounds. He needs to get a knockout between round one and between round three. 1 to 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks at most, is the timeline for Trump, I would imagine, for the U.S. military and for Israel. If Iran can manage to survive, the government, the regime, if you want to call it the regime, if they can survive for 2-3 weeks, if they can make it past round three, then the U.S. is in trouble. The U.S. is in big, big trouble if the regime can manage to last past the 2 to 3 week time frame. A big question is how many missiles and drones does Iran have? I think that's an important question that we just can't answer. We don't know. Does Iran have 10,000 missiles, 20, 50, more? We'll find out how long Iran can go to keep launching missiles into Israel. And not only into Israel, they're going to be launching missiles into U.S. Air bases. And now we're getting reports that the Houthis are jumping in. The Houthis are now joining Iran. And pretty soon we're going to see all of Iran's proxies jump in. Hezbollah, I imagine, is going to join the fight, of course. And so this thing is going to escalate. And if Iran starts really connecting and hitting U.S. Assets in the region, well, Trump is going to be forced to go even harder. But the question is, how long can the U.S. Last? How much firepower does the U.S. have to continue this past 2 to 3 weeks? Trump actually, in his speech, in his statement, as he was declaring war on Iran, his message to the American people was to expect casualties. That was his message. Expect casualties from the Department of War. This is what they posted on X. Operation Epic Fury. I guess that is what this operation is being called. from the Department of War. Israeli Channel 12 quoting an Israeli official, the decision to attack Iran was made during Netanyahu's visit to Washington. So those negotiations were all theater for Medvedev to post the same thing, to basically say the same thing, that those negotiations were theater. That means that the Russians are looking on at the negotiations that they're currently having with Witkoff and Kushner. And they're saying, yeah, these guys can't be trusted. The U.S. cannot be trusted as they go through their own negotiations with the U.S. and Ukraine. 30 targets across Iran have been struck so far, including the Iranian president's residence and an intelligence headquarters, Israeli reports claim. So look, the strikes will continue throughout the day, throughout the weekend. Iran's retaliations will also continue. And we've got a war. We have got an unprovoked, full-scale war, right? This is what unprovoked, full-scale looks like. Not what they're telling you about Russia and Ukraine. That was restraint. That was a lot of restraint. What we're seeing now unfold in the region is full-scale operations, unprovoked, full-scale operations. Let me bookmark this post on X. Explosions reported in Bahrain, Abu Dhabi, and Qatar, which all host U.S. military assets. The Iranians are retaliating. The U.S. has just ignited a totally unnecessary regional war. That's from Rania Kalik. Okay, this is going to be a video that focuses on just the war with Iran, just the war between Iran, the United States, and Israel, or should I talk about some other stuff? You guys want me to talk about some other things? Am I ready to talk about some other news topics? From Clash Report, Israel is also striking in Iraq, according to N12 News. Iranian missiles over Kuwait. This is coming from Lord Bibo. Iran is striking all bases in the Gulf states. From Megatron, Iran is now targeting U.S. bases. Explosions in Manama, the capital of Bahrain. Missiles targeting Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar. Initial reports of explosions in the United Arab Emirates. God help us. God help us. A lot of U.S. Tomahawks were used to strike Iran, to strike Tehran. A lot of U.S. Tomahawks. So I saw that Biden appeared yesterday. He gave a speech somewhere talking about how Trump in his State of the Union didn't mention the anniversary of Russia's full-scale unprovoked invasion in Ukraine. That was Biden's statement. What did I say a couple of days ago? They're bringing all of them back out again. Hillary's back. Olaf Scholz is back. Santa Marin is back. Biden is back. They're all coming back. All of them. Bill Clinton testified yesterday, his deposition to the House Oversight Committee. What was Bill Clinton's message? I kind of forgot what Bill Clinton said. He basically said that nothing happened. That's what he said. He was swimming in the pool with some girl, or in the hot tub with some girl, or swimming with Ghislaine Maxwell. And I think he said nothing happened. I did not have sex with that woman. I can't do a Clinton voice. I did not have any sex with that woman. That's my best Bill Clinton. I think he said the same thing with Lewinsky. He basically repeated his statements that he made way back with the whole Lewinsky Oval Office cigar blue dress scandal. for which then Clinton launched an attack against against Serbia, right? 72 days and nights of bombing of Serbia. Remember that? So let me see what other news topics I've got. Let me go to my ex. Let's see here. The Green Goblin gave an interview to Sky News. He's running around giving interviews. And he was asked about nuclear weapons, if Ukraine is getting nuclear weapons, according to the reports from Russian foreign intel. And Zelensky's response was that with pleasure he would like nuclear weapons. He did not get the proposition, but with pleasure. That's what he said. I didn't have a proposition, but with pleasure. And then the interviewer said, so we could put that to bed. That's not happening at all. And Zelensky said, no, it's not happening. You know, Zelensky was going on and on about getting nuclear weapons. You know, the reporter gave him the question about the Kremlin claims that the UK and France are going to provide you with nuclear weapons. And Zelensky was happy. He was smiling when this question was presented to him. And he was about to go on and on about how Ukraine should get nukes and with pleasure. And the reporter saved him. The Sky News reporter saved the Green Goblin, because he saw the Green Goblin was talking too much. and he came in, he interjected, and he's like, okay, we could put this to bed, right? And Zelensky was like, yes, Mr. Reporter from Sky TV channel, we can put these to bed. The Green Goblin, yeah. What else did he tell Sky News? Let's see here. Here's a quote. I'm not playing games with Putin. I'm ready to meet and I'm ready to speak, but not in Russia and not in Belarus, because they are allies during this war. So he said that. He was asked about, let me find the quote. He was asked about his free time and what he does in his free time. What kind of a question is that? All these reporters are so interested in Zelensky's free time, right? Did you guys ever notice that? CNN, Sky News, BBC, they always give him a question related to his free time, or what music does he listen to? Why do they care? Why do they care? It's a trick, you know. They want to present the Green Goblin as this everyday guy. He's an everyday person, under a lot of stress, holding his country together, but he finds time to read Harry Potter and to listen to AC/DC, right? It's media propaganda. Anyway, he was asked about his free time and listening to music. And he said, I don't have too much free time, but I can live with it already. I sleep with music only this way. I sleep with music, Mr. Sky News reporter. Mr. Sky News reporter, when I go to sleep, I like to listen to Metallica. They put me to sleep. I enjoy One Direction. They got catchy music. They always put me to sleep, Mr. Sky News reporter. That Harry Styles, he's good guy. Boy. Yeah, that's it. I'm not going to talk more about his ridiculous interviews to Collective West media channels. Ridiculous stuff. Le Goblin Ver. BlackRock Mertz. Lunatic, man. He's a lunatic. So he comes back from China. He sees all of China's technology and the humanoid, whether the humanoid robots or the AI robots. And they put on a show for BlackRock Mertz, and they were dancing and doing backflips and all of these things, right? And Mertz comes back to Germany, and he's all upset because China's just way ahead in technology and industry and manufacturing, way ahead now over a deindustrialized Germany. And so what does BlackRock Mertz do? He gives a speech, and he takes out his anger on the German people. Yeah, he actually takes out his anger on the German people, because Germany decided to support Le Goblin Ver. They decided to look the other way as Nord Stream was bombed. They decided to deindustrialize. They decided to sanction Russia to cut off cheap, reliable, dependable Russian gas that was powering Germany's industry. They decided to do all these things and to deindustrialize. And he goes to China and he sees a country that is not sanctioning Russia. He sees a country that is getting cheap Russian energy. He sees a country that is not that is not at war, that is working and trading with countries around the world, and that they're way ahead in technology, and he's all angry. And he goes back to Germany, gives a speech, a very angry speech, and he blames the German people. We are simply no longer productive enough. Each individual may say, I already do quite a lot. And that may be true. But when you return from China, ladies and gentlemen, you see things more clearly. With work-life balance and a four-day week, long-term prosperity in our country cannot be maintained. We will simply have to do a bit more. That's right. Blame the German people, Olaf Scholz. Blame the German people for your government. Olaf Scholz before you, but now you, for your government's incompetence and stupidity. You want to bring the German economy back, if it can be brought back, if it can be saved, if. That's a big if. But you want to make the German economy competitive again? BlackRock Merz? No more sanctions against Russia. Fix up Nord Stream, if it can be fixed. And go to Moscow and beg Putin, BlackRock Merz, to restart energy transfers, energy sales to Germany. There you go. I've fixed your economy. I've fixed your German deindustrialized economy, or at least I've given your German deindustrialized economy a chance to get back on track. Don't blame the people. Don't blame four-day work week or three-day work week or 10-day work week. It has none of that. It has anything to do with any of this. China is ahead because they don't make stupid, dumb decisions, and they didn't try to regime change Russia and regime change Putin. That was Germany that went along with Bidenopoulos in his bonehead plan to try and regime change Russia. You guys thought you were going to regime change Russia, overthrow Putin, and then make your way into Russia and plunder and pillage all of Russia's resources, and everything was going to be great. And you guys failed. And now you have none of Russia's resources, and now your economy is crumbling. And what do? You blame the German people. Disgusting. Disgusting. All right. Can I do a clown world? Do I have a clown world? I do have some kind of clown world here. Okay, so Macron's foreign policy advisor, Emmanuel Bon, he gathered journalists together, and his plan, this is a great clown world, these people in Europe, my God, these leaders in Europe, God help us. Anyway, his plan was to gather journalists together in his office, and he was going to call Moscow, and he was going to really stick it to the Kremlin and to Putin, right? Macron, his foreign policy advisor, was going to talk tough to the Kremlin in front of all of the French journalists. Wow. Wow, Mr. Bon is tough. He is tough. Listen to him stick it to Putin or to Peskov. So he makes a call. No one answers. He makes another call. No one answers. He tries again. No one answers. He calls the Kremlin four times. And you want to know what happens? The Kremlin doesn't even bother to pick up the phone. Oh, my God. Clown world. Oh, boy, clown world. All right. I think I will end the video there. A lot of news going on, but, you know, it's nonstop updates now. Rightly so. This is a massive, huge development of a war that is breaking out. This is going to be a big war. This is going to be a freaking big war. What have you done, Trump? Well, we'll monitor everything that goes on in this conflict on this channel, on the Duran, and we'll see how all of this develops. As we have said on the Duran, as I've said on this channel, as I said in this video, we'll see if Iran can last past, if Iran can hold together the structure of the Iranian government, the power structure, the supreme leader, the president, the military, if they can hold together past 1 to 2 to maybe 3 weeks, that's the conflict right there. That's what it's all about. If they can hold together, then it gets bad for the United States. Then the United States and Israel are in trouble. They're on the back foot. But for now, they're going to be on the offensive. Iran is going to be retaliating. And I fear that if they really, really hit American targets hard, and we see the loss of American lives, I fear this, if this happens, then this thing can really, really escalate in a big way. But we'll see. Anyway, we'll see how all of this develops. Trump started the war February 28th, 2026. And he was actually lobbying. He was talking about a Nobel Peace Prize. Just in, U.S. officials see Iran strikes extending for days, possibly weeks, according to the New York Times. Bahrain, Qatar, UAE, they're all getting hit right now. I'm just going through my feed. Okay. I'll end the video there. I will end the video there and I'll be back. Take care.